I'm going to just share something with us briefly, and then we'll probably pray with it again. Of course, nothing new, just the same thing we have been saying. I just want to share something with us briefly based on many things we have said here and there, but especially from one scripture. Well, not one scripture, but a principle. Yes, that's the word. You know, Mike Murdock has this. I just remembered it now. Although that's not why I titled mine this, but I was listening to Mike Murdock the other day on TV. He had this, is this seven laws? How many are the laws? The law of two, the law of difference, the law of location, the law of seed is the last one. Bishop, don't worry, you did this, or you imagine things. The law of honor, yes. Wow. This woman, no book, well. You cram that whole thing, Sha. Yeah, the one I want to talk about briefly, I just have my own. I was just thinking about it. I just said, okay, let me just share something on the law of something then. And I said, oh, my computer has the law of this, the law of that. So my own is the law of appreciation. What did I call it? And you see, that's actually what I meditated about it. And that's what actually underlies praise and thanksgiving. So it's the same thing. Here and there, we'll talk about thanksgiving, talk about praise, what it means to praise God. But I want to emphasize something along that line today. You know, some weeks ago, we talked about activation of angels. We tend to, most of the time, we give titles to our messages at the end. But I spoke on what I called activation of angels. Can you remember? Yes, that was about 4 weeks ago here now. All right? But today I want to talk about the law of appreciation. And it's still something like in line with that activation of angels that I spoke about. One day when we're speaking about activation of angels, I explained the fact that the Bible, that's from Psalm 103, that angels hearken to the voice of His word. If they are there present with us and all at all times, but we do not speak things that the Lord has said, we don't empower them to act. They're always there, but the Bible says that they've been sent out to minister to those who are heirs of salvation. So they're always there, but the thing that gives them power is the word that we speak, and not just any word, but the voice of God's word. You understand that point? We emphasize the fact that the word of God is not just thus says the Lord. That is, if God says something, we read from that, I think Hebrews chapter 13, which says that because He has said, therefore we can boldly say. So if we make statements based upon what we know that God said, then that is the voice of His word. Can you remember that? Yeah, we'll discuss that then. Now, what I want to talk about today, like I said, is something related to that in how we respond to things. But I want to talk about the law of appreciation. Now, if you were here last week when we were doing our radio recording, we were there for Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 4 days. There's something I said along the line, which I want to use as a foundation for what I'm sharing today. And that's the fact that, you see, Jesus Christ always used to do something. Before He would eat, every time He would give thanks. Now, if you read from the book of Mark chapter 8, this was when He was going to multiply bread. The Bible says that He directed, in verse 6, the multitudes to sit down on the ground, and taking 7 loaves, He gave thanks and broke them and started giving them to His disciples to serve to them. And they served them to the multitude. Now, what I want to bring out is that He also had a few small fish. Let me just continue reading that. And after He had blessed them, He ordered these to be served as well. Now, what I want to bring out is the fact that He gave thanks first and then He broke the bread. If you read again, maybe the Last Supper, you see He always gave thanks before He breaks bread. The Bible says after He had given thanks, He said. Now, I'm bringing an issue here. You see, the fact that He always gave thanks is very, very remarkable. When we're talking on that radio recording I was explaining earlier, there was something I said, and that's the fact that I said, I teach children at home, my kids, you know, they are small, but they have to learn from the beginning to give God thanks. They have to learn from the beginning to recognize. Now, that's where the message is. They must learn to recognize where food comes from. See, spiritual things control the physical. Did I hear an amen? Everybody here knows that already. All right? Now, the fact that, then when we're talking about angels, I said something. That the way angels walk is not always the way human beings think that they should walk. If you see angels with sword and spiritual angels now should be carrying bazookas and AK-47 and stuff like that. Yes, in those days, the angels had to carry sword, bow, and arrow, just so people understand, all right? But now the gun of the spirit is the word of the Lord, amen? So you can see spiritually, God opens your eyes and you see a battalion of angels with their guns, their, is it M16s, Americans call them, or you see their RPGs, the rocket-propelled grenades, you see their AK-47s, their Uzis, you see them spiritually. Say, my God, these guys are ready for battle. And then physically you come down to the earth, are you getting me? And then you expect a lot of noise. They are doing battle. They are hearing ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. Boom! Boom! Shh! Boom! I want to film. Amen? In real life, angels may not behave like that. Yeah, get my point. You go to the realm of the spirit, all right? And you see them fully armed. Now, those things are painted for you to be able to appreciate the readiness, all right? Their readiness for battle. But when they come on the earth, what you will see is very different. Like I said, they were surrounding Elisha. But what happened was that they saw Elisha, did not recognize him. That's the Syrian soldiers saw Elisha, didn't recognize him. They were as if they were blind. He led them to the center of the midst of their enemies, and they didn't recognize that. And that, we understood then, is the activity of angels. Spiritually, you see them, as if they are armed for battle. But physically, what do you see? You just see your enemies come, they are confused. They start taking advice that's wrong. Are you getting my point? I give this one then that one man said he saw angels, fully ready for battle, looking very angry. And what's the issue? They have come to do battle for his finances. So when he wakes up in the morning, you hear, money will just fall down. No. Nothing like that. They are fighting. Serious warfare is going on. But what happens? He goes to an office where they've been owing him, you know, especially if you're a contractor. You know, you've been owing for the last maybe 2.5 years. You have called, you have spoken, you have prayed, you have given gifts, you have done all kinds of things. You have sowed dangerous seed towards the harvest of your own money. You understand my point? Your own. And nothing has happened. Then when the angels begin to do battle, what do you find? Suddenly you get there and say, oh, sir, you are here, you are here. We've been waiting for you. Sign here, sign here. And they give you your money without asking for anything for the boys. And as you are walking away, you are still checking whether, are they going to call me back? And say, no, come. And you want to walk out, come out like that. And you're still wondering. But actually, you go. One brother gave me a testimony today. Let me share it with you briefly. Something led to it. For those of you who wanted the book, he happens to be on earth. That's the man I went to collect. I was discussing with him. So, in the course of talking about that book, I mentioned the book of Mary Kay Ash. You understand? I talked about you can't outgive God. And then, when I told the story of you can't outgive God, he now told his own story of when he was earning a very little amount of money. He didn't give the exact figures, but definitely not up to 7,000 naira a month. They wanted to take an offering in his church for something. And something in him just decided to pledge 25,000 naira. Now, let me tell you what I'm saying. You are earning, let's say, 6,000 naira a month. Say, who will give this amount? He said, okay, I will. 25,000. So at the end, he said, hey, where will you get this money from? Are you getting it? Where will I get this money from? Nowhere. So he had to carry all his property to go and sell it. Except that nobody agreed to buy. Nobody agreed to buy. Let me make the long story very short. You understand? He said that the very next month, PTF, remember PTF? They came to Enugu. They started business in Enugu. And one way or the other, he got a consulting job with them. And his first salary was 25,000 naira a month. The very first salary. That was the agreement. So he went to go and resign from his job where he's still working today. And the people there refused that, no, you can't go. How can you go? So this one is a government job, and this one is a consultancy job. So he could hold the two legally. So when his office didn't let him go, on this moment they were paying him, he stayed, and he's still there till today. And salaries have improved much over time. And he said the following month that they raised his salary to 30,000 naira every month. Do you understand the point? You know, when I talk, you see, I understand that's angelic warfare. God just saw his heart and said, let me bless this young man. So just released a battalion of angels. They just moved PTF to Enugu. Come, go to Enugu and go and walk. What's wrong with you? And they went, they started walking. And the next thing that happened, you understand? God just said, lead him. You see, events will start. Somebody will just remember that there's a man. You know, people start remembering things. That's angels walking. For those of you who are here, we're talking about arranged marriages. How many of you were around? The rest of you are not around. It was a nice time. Now, the brother who gave me the gist of arranged marriage, all right? The wife, anyway, there's a woman in question who the Lord arranged for somebody else. The person she wanted to marry first, who she was willing to marry, the angels of God blocked his eyes. He was alive and well and prospering, but he was always forgetting the woman. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. He would say, I'll come and see you at 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock, he will totally forget. That is, he will forget with the forgetfulness with which the cupbearer forgot Joseph. Later on, eventually bring them together again and he'll remember. And he'll start apologizing with all his heart. Except that he'll forget again. Listen, you think that he wasn't serious? He was serious. He was so serious that the day he finally met her and said, listen, and by that time the woman don't forget her. He didn't even know. He wished not that the Holy Spirit had departed from him, like Samson. The day she mentioned to him that, listen, look at this. I'm engaged to somebody else. My bride price has been paid. And we are waiting so and so and so date. The man collapsed there. Collapsed. They had to revive him with water and prayer and the casting out of demons. Added the last one to it, all right? But he actually collapsed. And they really had to revive him by sprinkling water and say, can you hear me? Wake up. Don't die here. So the man telling me the story, he said, listen, let me put my own words. I've forgotten exactly what he used now. But the angels of God just took that thing away from that guy. He tried to remember her and he could not. He so much wanted to marry her that the day he heard that she had gone, she told him like this, be sorry. He fell down and passed out. Do you understand him to pass out? So you know it wasn't a man that was joking. I'm going to bring us on something here. That when the angels of God are walking, are you getting my point? When the favor of God is walking, it might come out looking very natural. That's what I'm saying. It will come out looking natural. Everything will just seem to flow. You know, I said before that, what did I call that time? The simplicity of divine intervention. You're going to listen to that message. Most divine interventions are simple. And that's why men don't recognize God. It can be explained. I was very sick. And my friend happened to be a doctor and he passed by my house and said, oh, this is your sickness. I know what it is. And he gave me this small treatment and I became very well. So we think it is the excellency of medical wisdom. Meanwhile, it isn't. It's divine healing that was sent to your home. Are you getting my point? That's why I call it the simplicity of divine intervention. Now, when men don't recognize that, God gives them over to the depravity of their minds. They start thinking nonsense thoughts. I was saying, so, you see, angels, when they walk down, listen, you think God is not protecting you. You don't know how much he has protected just because nobody came near your door. There was a time they were planning for you. They call it the Kokura's lock. You know what they call Kokura? I think it's Kokura's lock. If you don't know what's Kokura, let me quickly tell you. Kokura is a city in Japan. When they wanted to bomb Hiroshima and Nagasaki, the first bomb dropped on Hiroshima. The next bomb was going for Kokura. And things went wrong. The plane was not very well fueled. Something went out of order. The fuel was low. They hovered around Kokura looking for how to drop the bomb. And there was plenty of cloud and smoke in the air. And the people who had been instructed, look before you drop. So they could not see. So when the pilot looked at his fuel, it was low. He left Kokura and went to Nagasaki. So the people of Kokura did not know what missed them. Are you getting my point? That's what the Japanese will call Kokura's luck. That is, evil comes to your doorstep and it goes away and you are not aware. One day I went to my pastor's house. I asked, there was this young woman who lived near us then. I was going, it was in the evening. I said, please, can you ask? I want to go and see pastor. That's when I was a house officer. She said, okay, let's go. And this is, you know, see, woman can fear. So not every woman, all right? My wife knows the fear at all. And then as we were walking down, a fat snake. That snake was big. That snake was big. Just like crawling out. And we're walking together like this on the road, just walking beside the road. We were returning from pastors at that day. I was just walking on the road. I remember the young woman stepped like this and put her foot down and lifted it again and was less than 1 centimeter away from the head of the snake. I just took a look. I kept on walking nicely. And we stepped over and the snake kept on going like nobody was there. I did not see anything. Otherwise, even though the snake had gone, the whole place would scatter. I just kept on walking. I think it was later. Maybe the next day I said, hey, you know, yesterday you escorted me somewhere. You almost stepped on the snake. Then she was teaching. That was yesterday, now not today. Things like that happen every day. And it's the power of God working. People plan evil against you, but you don't know. You know, that's what I tell you. That will say, all the witches are against you. Don't worry. They've been frustrated. They've tried. Your life is not because they didn't try. You are not aware doesn't mean they did not try. They tried. The day your mother gave birth to you, somebody wasn't happy. And they went to man cursed you and nothing happened. They said, you will die, you will die. 6 weeks before you were supposed to die, you gave your life to Christ. And you are not aware. You are not alive by chance. So. If you know how wicked the devil is, let me tell you what the devil is like. If he can just break this building down now, wow, all of us will die inside. It will make him happy. If you know what can make you happy, why have you not done it if you had the power? Because you're not fit. There are people here that if they just buy a brand new 600 Mercedes-Benz now, they go happy. No, so. And go buy now. What is the issue? No, Kusa. The ability, the willingness is there. But to perform, nothing. In the same manner, the willingness to murder you is there with the devil, but he can't. The willingness is there. But oh yeah, now try now. So when you see the devil next time, do like this. Open your two eyes. You toying the guy, you know? Toying. Don't say he will be angry. He was angry before you did that. People say that. One day, Kenneth said he went to pray for one woman. Her husband was sick. And when they finished, nothing like, look, we're declaring boldly that the name of Jesus, the devil can't do anything, he's defeated. The woman said, shh. He said, what? He said, he may just hear you. So he said, what? He's supposed to hear. That's the whole idea. That's the whole idea. He's supposed to hear. That's why I'm saying it. But some people are so afraid. They say, don't annoy the devil. Let me tell you, he's annoyed already. Are you getting my point? He's angry. That's why I'm not afraid. Say, no witch can do anything. If they can't, let them try. The reason is that, listen, without your saying it, they wish they could. Are you getting my point? You're saying it that has not given them power. It hasn't. Wake up in the morning and tell the devil, you can't kill me, you can't kill me. He can't do anything. If he could, you'll be dead. Every time you pray, in the name of Jesus, you didn't say the guy they rejoice with, you say, pastor, they pray. No. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. Now, I was trying to say something. Let me just give it. So, I was talking about that Kokura's lock. So, the angels of God, the power of God is working on your side, even when you are not aware it's working. That's what I'm going to emphasize. I can just imagine that day. Because this is always come out natural. As the plane was circling over Kokura, some angels just said, no, you can't drop it here. You can't drop this thing here. So, they just spread their wings, and the pilot will see smoke. I don't know what that girl said. The angels will spread their wings, and this pilot will see smoke. Go this way. There's one angel just under the guy. Fly along, fly along. You're not dropping any bomb. The pilot will say, too much smoke, too much smoke, too much cloud cover. Another angel will say, let me take over. Boom, that will change to cloud. After a while, he said, guys, move, come on. Say, go. That's it. Another angel will guide them nicely to Nagasaki. Say, this is where the wicked souls are. Drop it. You get what I'm saying? I'm talking about the law of what? Appreciation. Yes. Now, so, the spiritual things, that's the way they are. In the same manner, I'll just want to say that. So, the blessings of God, they come out very natural. They come out the fact that you took one breath in, out, Each one is the power of God manifested. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
It is. Each one is. When you go to, no, if you've seen a human heart, I've seen it. You know, that's my job. I see it almost every other day. You wonder why it works. It's meat. You wonder why it works. But except something goes seriously wrong, the devil has to work extra to make it stop. It continues working. You wake up in the morning, you start running. When you were sleeping, it was beating maybe 65, 70 times a minute. Then you start running. It goes up to 120. It can increase its blood flow maybe more than 15 times. And you don't think about it. Believe me, every heartbeat is the power of God. Now, I was saying, I teach children these things. Now, this is where I'm going on. They must recognize it early. Listen to this. Because if you were here then on radio, we said what? Knowledge is what?
Power.
Knowledge is what?
Power.
And we are not saying knowledge is power the way people talk about it in the world. Like, if you have knowledge, you can vote properly. That's my point. Your vote is your power. But that one is a lie anyway, but let's not talk about it. So if you know your candidate, you use your vote properly. That knowledge is power, they say. Now, that's not what we're talking about. We explained something then. That listen, Jesus said to the disciples, who was praying for them, he said that they may know, he said, I pray that he will give them what? Eternal life. I said, no, that the Father has given the Son life so that he can give eternal life to whosoever he wishes. And he said, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God. Are you getting my point? Eternal life is what? Knowledge. Eternal life is what? Is what? Knowledge. That is, you experience the power of life by the things that you know and you understand. I don't mean physics. No. I mean what? The knowledge of the true God. For example, what do you mean by true God? There are false gods. Is that not true? Yeah, if they say true God, that means there are false gods. That's John chapter 17. If you say there are true gods, if there's a true God, that means there are false gods. For example, daddy works very hard. That's what children are thinking. Therefore, there's food on the table. They know a false God. And that false God, his name is daddy. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. But this is my job. And after I say, everybody, let us thank God. Father, we thank you for this food in Jesus' name. And listen, let me just add this one to you. Everybody should learn it. Parents, don't just teach children to pray before they eat. Explain to them why. Are you getting my point? It's not blessed is food the Lord for Christ's sake. Amen. Say why? So that in case there's poison inside, it won't affect you. That's not the truth. It will still not affect you. Amen.
Amen.
You won't die from one strange poison in Jesus' name.
Amen.
But that's not the basic thing. The truth is that you are saying thank you because you should thank God. I don't know where I get my point. Because he gave you the food. Every time my kids collect something, if they walk away, my wife will say, what's the magic word? They will turn around and say, thank you. But they'll tell you, thank you, daddy, or thank you, mommy. That is, you can't take my gift and just walk away and not say thank you. In the same manner, when you and I sit before food and we say, Father, we thank you, it's not a habit. You literally are saying, without God, I would not have this food. Do you get what I'm saying? Now, I'm going somewhere, and all of this is my plenty talk. This is the law of appreciation. And I said eternal life is what? Is the knowledge of something. The true God. That he's the one that brought the food. This is the implication of eternal life when I constantly appreciate God. Listen to this. If you raise a child with that understanding, he will never be hungry in his life. I don't know what I heard I said. Let me say it again. If you raise a child, if you are raised with that understanding, drop that child in Somalia, he will have food. I don't know what I heard. Drop him or her in the midst of the most intense famine, he will have food. How will he come? I don't know. God will use, most of the time, it will be natural methods. Sometimes he will use super, no, not by natural now. It just looks natural. Sometimes he will use supernatural methods. But anybody who grows up having only one understanding, that food is not because daddy works. It is because God gives. That child will never lack bread all his life. Please, I hope you are following what I'm saying. Listen, when you are doing things, you know, let's assume you're a pastor. Like, this man is a pastor now. You know, pastors love church to grow. If you're a pastor here, you don't like church to grow, say amen. You don't like it. Say, Lord, don't let anybody come to this church. But the ones that are here, scatter them. You are not the pastor of the church. You're the vex for the general overseer of that church. Now, listen to this. Listen to what I'm saying. Because the law of appreciation works everywhere. Once I was watching One Gospel. You know what was One Gospel? This TV channel. And they had this panel of discussants in which they were checking the use of advertisement in ministry. And some people were talking about it is worldly. Some say it's a skill if you have it. Do you understand? Why don't you use it? Now, I can't remember all the things they said, but I want to bring out some thoughts from it. There are people who professionally, their job is to promote people. What I mean is that if you write a book now, and a very nice book, you've written it, Wonders of Improvement. I don't know what that means. I just coined that expression. It's Wonders of, and a very beautiful book, guaranteed to turn things around. All right? But no matter how good the book is, who's going to read it? They don't know you. The title looks out of place, you know? There are people that their job is to promote you. Are you getting my point? In fact, there's one guy, his name just escaped me. If I remember it, I'll let you know. But this man, you know what he used to do? I heard that he was the one that raised money with which Ted Turner started CNN. And that the man, he was so good, all right, he could raise $1 billion on the promise of nothing. And you people won't realize it's nothing. That when Ted Turner wanted to start CNN, he hyped up the concept so much. When Tetona went asking people for money, they were pouring money into his hands. I think his name is Andrew, is it Kosuji or something? That's a Japanese kind of name. Oh, just by the way, the man was incredibly poor. Nobody knew. He was owing everybody, but he was such a master of show that if he walked up to me and said, madam, please can I use your private jet over the weekend? You think he has two? I don't know what I get my point. You hand him yours and say, Brother Andrew, no problem. You toss him the keys. And that's, he's going to fly around with your plane everywhere. You don't know that he's owing everybody he has ever met. By the time things came crashing down on him, for something we just started, the whole thing just started collapsing. But I'm talking about him now. What I'm talking about is that he's a master of show. That he raised money for a particular project. You know, he'll just go. He just knew how to do it. No package, just take pictures, package it, put it on TV, make brochures out of it and distribute. That you see it, you will believe that this is heaven, that this man is starting to invest in. I heard that he helped Ted Turner raise the money with which he started CNN. Now, this is where I'm going. People now say that such people, this is where I'm going. Some pastors, some people now start packaging pastors like that. I don't know what I get my point. Pastor Banky, this word you are preaching, the whole world should hear it. What we're going to do now is that. And these are the kind of things they do. Listen. Maybe they will check Pastor E. Adeboye is coming to Enugu. So Redeem has taken a full page advert in the Guardian. They are very smart. They just go to the Guardian and say, listen, this thing is going to be on page 16, right? Guardian says yes. They will buy the top strip on page 17. I don't know whether I get a point. And put Pastor Banky there. Something entirely different. But it's an unconscious thing. You open the paper. You see Pastor A here. Your eyes close automatically the next side. And you see Pastor Banky. And in your mind, you connect the two. They are men of influence. Nobody knows this nigga on the right. Do you get what I'm saying? Yes, they do it. They package you very nicely. They choose the kind of suit you wear, how your hair is cut, where you wear your ring, how you talk. The idea is that and some of them guarantee it, within 3 years, your ministry will be making 2.5 million naira every other week. Guaranteed. This isn't a joke. I don't know what's going on there. Just by the way, that is what they call worldliness. Did I hear it? Worldliness. Now, I'm talking about the law of recognition. So that the people were discussing. If you have the power, you know, if you, I mean, you can advertise and all of that. Listen, advertisement, is it wrong? No. I mean, you have to talk. You understand my point? But this is the law of recognition. If a man walked up to me and told me all of that, I'm telling you now, you know me enough anyway. I would tell him, I would open the door and tell him to walk out. And if 2 minutes later I'm looking at the back of his skull, I'm going to break it. So I'm asking, just run. If your back of his skull, the back of your skull is still in front of me in 2 minutes time, it's broken. That's how much I will get the guy out of my sight. Because when they throw you up like that, you will fall down. If you grow up, you know men who grow up is always, you're that height. But when you jump up, lalaturukus ilenimbus. Thank you very much. Go and ask the meaning of that. Everything that goes up must come down. Are you getting my point? Now, I'm going somewhere now about the law of recognition. This is what it does. When a man doesn't understand that promotion doesn't come from the east or the west or from the south, but that God who sits on the northern side is the judge and is the one that brings down one and lifts up another. If they don't understand that, they will be pursuing this fleshly way of promotion. That's what I mean by the law of what? Appreciation. They don't understand that. No, it is God that lifts people up. Now, don't forget, I said something at the beginning, I'll connect to the activation of angels. So this is what happens. As you are going about in life, one day you'll be lifted. Did I hear an amen? There are two ways to respond. You can say, ah, Brother Bishop, you won't believe what happened. Just be helping me thank the governor. Ah, were he not for the governor? Do you know? Oh, just help me thank this counselor. Were he not for? Oh, help me thank the DPO of New Haven Police Station. Were he not for him? Are you seeing what I'm saying? You know what you have done? You have shut the power of God to lift you further. You have closed it down. Just like the child that I said, if you teach him and he grows up and he sees food all the time as a gift from God, he will never lack food in his life. In the same manner, every time you see any degree of promotion or increase in your life, if you are able to take your eyes away from, oh, daddy works, know that this is the gift of God. Promotion does not come from the east or the west. It doesn't come from any human being. Therefore, you show, you know, courtesy to human beings. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. Oh, sir, thank you very much. You know, it's okay. But you enter the house, you forget that man that God used for a moment. When you want to tell somebody, say, ah, hey, Bangi Hafa. Ah, I said, Brother Bishop, the Lord is good. Did I not tell you the Lord is good? Listen, look at what God has done. If I have that attitude, listen to me, I will never lack promotion in my life. So much that if all the governors, all the counselors, all the DPOs are against me, there is still nothing they can do. Why? Because my promotion never came from any one of them. That's why, don't be afraid, in quotes now, please, get my point, to offend people. You know what I mean? Offend people. Listen, a man has helped you. He's the one that helped you get the job. You never thought you'd be able to get that job. Then one day he asks you to break your rule because he's the one that helped you get the job. Tell him nicely no, because he's not the one that actually helped you get the job. I don't know what I hear what I said. Tell him what? No, very nicely. In your mind, the man is thinking that after all I did for you, and you feel like telling him like Pontius Pilate was told by Jesus Christ, you did what for me? It was just God that used you to do what he wanted to do. Are you getting my point? Out of course, he may not tell the man to his face, but tell yourself in the heart. After all I did for you, no, you didn't do anything for me in your heart. Oh. You didn't do anything. On the surface, just say, oh, I'm so sorry, sir. This is against my conscience, against my principles. I can't do it. Tomorrow you will come asking for help again. My help comes from the Lord, who makes the heavens and the earth. Are you getting my point? Hey, tomorrow you will soon come. I'm waiting. You're not bothered. There are people who are afraid. Help me call this person. I've offended him. Please now, help me. Help me. You can't sleep again. And why? It's not because of their morality or their sense of honor and respect. It's because if I close this door, that's the end of it. Listen, that is the reason why Jesus gave thanks every time before he ate bread. And I believe that was the reason. Because, of course, here, the Bible says he gave thanks and broke bread and began to multiply the bread. Again, you know, I said something earlier. One brother pledged to give 25,000 naira for a program, so for somebody who had risen in his church. And God blessed him abundantly. Mary Kay Ash, her own was $100,000. By the time God released money to her 1 hour later, she was getting $100,000 every month. This is a mistake we make. We think they started it that day. And I cannot tell you, say, listen, if you want God to increase you next month, right now pledge the amount of increase you want on a monthly basis. Pledge it now. I am going to anoint your hands and receive it from you. Let me tell you the truth. Once somebody does like that, the person has deceived you. Father, I'm sorry. I hope it's okay the way I said it. Yes, it's okay now. So, no, I know what I'm saying. I know what I'm saying so. Because you won't get anything. You will not get anything. You have participated a lot of times and you didn't get anything. You know now. Should I tell you to put up your hand if you have ever done something like that? Let me not embarrass you. You know what I want to emphasize? You see, when you want to break bread and you want it to multiply, the key is just to give thanks. So you collect the bread. How many of you now one chop? Say it will be 15, bros. 15. You get the bread now, 3 slices. How will do this bread? Oh boy, things rough. How will do this bread now? Okay, they said the key is to give thanks. Everybody, move around. Yeah. Begin to thank God for this bread. Begin to thank God for this bread. Now go thank God the bread go dry. Go thank God nothing will happen. This is the point I'm making. Thanksgiving is not a key. Are you getting what I'm saying? Just take it and you turn it. It's a habit. Thank you. It's an attitude. It's a lifestyle. It's a thought process. This was not the first day Jesus gave thanks. It was his habit. He did not give this thanks so the bread could multiply. He would have given that thanks if he was the only person to eat. And that was why, when they said, turn these stones to bread, he said, you don't understand. Bread does not come from my work. I don't know what I heard I said. It doesn't come from my own striving. It does not come from the use of my own power. It comes from God. So any bread I have to multiply with my own strength that I cannot truthfully say, Father, I thank you. I don't need it. That's one. Second point is the fact that because he always gave thanks, I said he will never lack bread. That's why he never lacked bread. So that when people who depended upon him needed bread, he had to give them. Giving of thanks was a reality to him for bread. It was not a key for multiplication of bread. It wasn't. That's why I told that story. Because often when people hear that, those stories, those two I told, we say, okay, just go and do it. No. That fellow had a heart for God. I don't know whether I get my point. He had it. He had it. The Mary Kay story that I tell all the time, she was not trying to get, she thought all she, listen, when God spoke to her, she said, if people say God speaks to them, this is the closest I ever came to it. She was dressing up, applying makeup in the morning, and the voice said, her pastor said, please come and help us speak to motivate people so that they can complete this project. So her pastor now said, she was now preparing, and a thought dropped in her and said, offer to double whatever they give that day. It was just a thought. And she said the heaviest she expected was $5,000. You must understand that. When they did not tell her on time, she thought the money must be big. That it would be $10,000. When they told her $106,000, she almost fell down too. She too, she fell. If the Lord had said 100, I said, no, forget that deal. I don't get that kind of money. Are you getting what I'm saying? She was not trying to sow a seed. She was living her life. She was a generous person and somebody who was ready to obey what she thought was the voice of God. Do you get the principle? Do you get the principle? And another thing, she was a woman of her word because the elders in the church tried to release her from the pledge twice. Before they told her the amount of money, they said, forget that you pledged it. After they told her, when she said, she didn't say it like that, she was just quiet on the phone. The person said, no, I told you that the elders have met, and spiritually she was actually released. She said, no, I give my word publicly. I must honor it. Those were the things God put together. And her son called less than an hour later on the same phone and said, that deal that you got into some time ago, the investment has started yielding. Your profit, your share of the profit in the first month is $100,000. Some people now say, once you want to play, just join hand. No. You either want to make giving a lifestyle or you are not interested in it. Are you getting my point? In the same manner, thanksgiving is not a key. That's what I'm saying. It's a law of what? Appreciation. That once you is, you know. Now, and I was saying, life now demands you periodically to utter what you really appreciate. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. You are soon going to go for an interview. And people will tell you your certificate. Now, there are two ways. Both of them, the same thing. Wait till you get 2-2. Which course you study? Which school? They're not going to just employ you at all. And you believe it. There's a second one that's just as bad, maybe worse. What do you get? First class, baba. Which course? They mention, say, which university? Harvard, It's your type. If you believe it, you're dead. Excellence is good. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
Excellence is good. Amen?
Amen.
We must strive for excellence. Amen?
Amen.
God is not a God of mediocrity. Amen? Neither is a God of stupidity. Amen?
Amen.
He is not a God of stupidity. But he's a God of wise and foolish and stupid and good and big and small. He's a God of everybody who will drop their natural disadvantages and their natural advantages and hold to the power that's in Christ. Do you understand that?
Uh-huh.
Now, whichever one you believe of those two, you're in trouble. Because if you believe that you don't have it, therefore you can't get it. You are saying promotion does not come from God. It comes from the east or the west or the south. Are you getting my point? If you say, yes, I have all everything, you are saying the same thing, that promotion does not come from God. It comes from the east or the west or the south. Listen, people say the key is thanksgiving. It's not a key. I don't know whether I get my point. It's a recognition. Did you hear what I said? When your life is the life of recognizing God's power, it will appear to you like to people around you as if you have a key. Did you know that Jesus gave thanks and the bread multiplied? It's true. He gave thanks and the bread multiplied. Amen? Is that not in the scriptures? It's there. But was he a key? Just say, give me that major key. That's the one we need when things are rough like this. No. It is, listen, God is the provider. It's a habit we have. We respect that. And for that reason, when we receive something, the first thing we do is we do what? We give thanks. No, so you've heard this question before, the law of first fruits. You've heard of first fruits? Yeah, Christians introduced it into Pentecostal churches about 4 years ago. And it has been growing since that time. It has been growing since. Yeah, it's been growing because it brings a lot of income to churches. So, Pastor. Pastor Okemute is a pastor. So, I'm asking him. But I'm going somewhere. People have asked me, what is the law of first fruits? In case you want to know, I'll just give it to you straight. All right? People say, is it your whole January salary? It's not your January salary. It's not. It's not your January salary. All right? If you want to give your general salary, you should. It's good. It's a good thing to be generous. Are you getting my point? If you have never given a whole month's salary, you have a serious problem. All right? So go and learn it. Go and try. Try one day. Calculate everything you've earned in 1 month and say, God, I'm waiting. People, they give. Am I dead? You get what I'm saying? And give too. It's good. You should copy good things. So, you know, some people say, hey, Pastor Frank says it's not compulsory. This tithing is not compulsory. You're on your own. If you are using me as an excuse for your stingy behavior, may God handle you on your own. Don't join me to it, please. Uh-huh. After people say, hey, Pastor, are you saying tithing is compulsory now? No, I don't believe in it. You know I don't. But because I don't, I'm more than a tither. You get what I'm saying? I can't be restricted by 10%. I can't be. Now, it's for me not to see the need.
or may not to believe in it. There are some people go around with photographs, you know, of diseases. I look at those pictures. They were downloaded from books, I'm sure. People are criminals. You see them there. God forgive me. The pictures are so good, and they have different diseases. You know, I'm a pathologist. I know where to find these photographs. If I open my computer for you like this, you go see head who don't break into. I photograph and put it in traffic. Help the needy, help the needy. I love you now. I'll give you money. I want to go and use it to chop. It's only when I don't believe in things like, are you getting my point? There are things like that that just come. Say, ah, this child is very sick in the hospital. I say, oh boy, I work in the hospital. I have seen sick children. What I'm saying is that if I feel like somebody is just trying to be deceptive and in my mind I'm persuaded, I may not respond. Sometimes people are just overextending themselves and they will not respond. But if I know this thing to be true, the other time, I told my wife, we're paying fees, beginning of the year, you know, term. Is this semester? Term, sha. We have 4 children going to school. I just thought, I said, sweetheart, this money is plenty, but we can pay it, can't we? I said, but what about those who have to pay it, but they can't? I said, it's not right. We can't be paying only our own. I said, yeah, think. We should send money to people who want to pay fees. I'm trying to bring out an issue here. Eh? So that's what I preach. Don't go and hide and say, Pastor Frank, you said that it's not compulsory. So you are stingy as a dry bone. What I'm saying is that a Christian that has the understanding that I'm teaching is superior to a man who believes in tithing. That's what I'm saying. And I'm not talking about money now. In the same manner, so when we have to talk about first fruit, I'm saying, Pastor, I don't catch you. I want every money again. You were in bondage before. That was your problem. And it's good. I'm liberated. Because I don't know what you were doing before, you were not getting anything anyway. You get my point? You were not willing. You were only obedient. And you have to be willing and obedient to eat the good fruit of the land. Uh-huh. Now that I have clarified that, in Jesus' name, have I clarified it? Let me now say the truth. The truth is that it's not your whole month's salary. It's not from scriptures. It's not. The Jews that used to practice it. At number two, it's not a New Testament practice that you must do first. It's not. All right? The truth is this. The Jews that used to practice, this was how it went. It was a law of appreciation. This was how they did it. They used to harvest maximum maybe twice a year. All right? But generally, there's one major harvest. And once you start harvesting, this was the law of appreciation. The first thing you took from the farm went to the temple. It wasn't the volume. It had to be what? The first. And it was a statement that this field is not fruitful because I know the laws of agriculture. It was a statement that this field is not fruitful because I am so righteous and I know how to do everything properly. That this fruit field is fruitful because of the mercy of God. Do you get the point? So they were commanded, before you eat it, listen. If you are harvesting, I can't remember, I don't know their measures now. Okay, let's use tons now. If you are harvesting, let's say, 10,000 tons of wheat, and you are so generous, you are going to give 2,000 tons to charity and to the priest and the temple. But first you go home and you eat part of the wheat and you enjoy yourself and you feed your stomach, you have broken the law of first fruit. Are you getting my point? For them, God didn't want 1,000 tons. He didn't want 1 ton. He wanted a basket full, a handful, a bag full. Out of the 10,000 tons you are going to harvest is your problem. But the first basket that comes out, I want that one. The idea is that I am saying these 10,000 tons, all right, they are not coming because of my strength. They are coming because of divine favor. The law of first fruit was very different from the law of tithing under the old covenant. It was very different. The laws were different. The law of first fruit was a way of saying God. And funny enough, it's an eternal law. It was there from time. And that is what Thanksgiving is all about. All right? What do I mean is this. Nigeria, we do New Year festival, 3 of us. That's what it was about. Go and read this book. I just keep on forgetting that book. Is it Chinua Achebe now or which other one? I've forgotten. That one in which Ezulu refused to pronounce harvest should start and people started carrying their yam to church. What's the name of that book? Arrow of God. Thank you. I think it was Arrow of God. That's the principle. The idea is that before you started harvesting your yam, you harvested one and took to the shrine. Whether you are going to harvest only 20 that year or you're going to harvest 10,000, that's not the point. The point is that the first one had to go to where? The shrine. So when the God didn't pronounce harvest should start, the pastor took advantage of it and said, guys, God now God, my own is even superior to his own. So people said, man, before all our yam rot in the field, he said, carrying, and he decided that since the idol, the God of wood and stone took one tuber, his own God is going to collect two. And people didn't mind. The point I'm making is that it was just how many tubers? One. The law was how many tubers? How many tubers?
One.
It was one. What's the principle? That you are saying, I recognize that it is God. That's what I'm saying. I have a friend. Anywhere he goes to minister for the first time, any honorarium you give him, he does not take. It's just his own. If I'm coming here for the first time and I'm preaching for the first time and they give me money, his own is that I'm not taking it. I'll collect the money and give it back to you people. Are you getting my point? No, it happened. I give it as I'm a preacher. I go around preaching. A lot of times you preach, people give you things, all right? They can give you anything, fruits. They can give you anything. They can give you anything at all. Now, once, I realized I was going to preach somewhere. And in my mind, I was excited that I don't even get money for pocket. After preaching today, I'll get small money. So as soon as I finished thinking that thought, I just knew what to do. It was somewhere down, not too far from here. I just finished, they just said, okay, thank you, sir. Thank you. Just small appreciation for your prayers. I collected it too. Offering time, I didn't check what was left, but I opened my hand, stuck into the envelope, wrapped the whole thing. Offering time, blessing time, boom, I threw it into their basket. They never knew it, unless the person who gave the money can. That's my note now, it's back in the offering. Apart from that, they will not know. I collected it, thanked them very well, and kept the money. And when I said offering time, I opened the envelope, and I didn't check how much was inside. Listen, if it was 1 million naira that day, that's my 1 million bucks gone. Because you know what I'm saying? So before I came, I made up my mind. You know why? I just found myself feeling happy. That nothing in my pocket. Okay, I'm going to preach. They will give me small money. Once I thought like that, I said no. That thinking must disappear. That thinking must come to an end. So I told myself before I went there, I wasn't expecting to be much money. I don't think it was a lot of money, but I just told myself, I'm not living there with a dime. I drove there. On the offering time, I just put it out, put it back in the offering basket. It wasn't like I give it back to them. I just put it in the offering basket. Now, I'm using that as an issue to bring us on. It was just my way of saying that, oh boy, stop looking at ministration as, do you get my point? And it's also a box. No, please, don't start it. It's not a good habit. It's not a good habit. Therefore, Alain Guy is my co-laborer, so he knows. We go to all kinds of places, and we get all kinds of treatment. All of them good, amen? And whichever way, it is good. What I judge it by is, was the word delivered, and was he rich? Were the people blessed? Are you getting my point? Pastor Banky, what about money? You know now. Behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. I don't have the capacity to doubt that. If God has to literally open the physical clouds, move them back, and rain money on me, He will. He will. He will. He has to. What's the law of appreciation there? That I understand that if it is 20 naira, it is God. I don't know whether I get my point. If it's 20 naira, it's who? If it's 100 million naira, it is who? God. It's the same God that is rich unto me, whether the money is plenty or the money is small. Are you getting my point? Listen, that's why, I've told you several times, you can't be jealous of anybody. You can't be angry with people. If it was not that man, by now, you know what you have said? God is not in charge. Nothing comes from his hands. His hands are too short. They cannot deliver. So I was about, oh God, this kind of wicked people they put in charge.
They were just about to give me the contract. The man now said that his brother is going to do it. That's what happened, though. That's why your brother is poor today. And the man is talking to you. Says, see, as your brothers, they suffer. Once he talks like he said, you have no faith in God. Tell him like that. Are you getting my point? Because, you know, I said that life will make demand. You have to utter. Do you get my point? You have to do what? Utter something. You must talk. And what you are doing is whoever you recognize comes in charge of your life. That's another point I should make before I leave. Whoever you recognize takes charge. Because Jesus always, always recognized that as common. You have to understand that there was no famine in his days. As common as food was, he said it was God. Let me add this one to it. Houses and riches the fathers can give, but a prudent wife is not from knowing how to chase women. A prudent wife is from whom? So if a woman give you a show, you drag the show, lick the blood, throw the, you know what they call a show? You don't know what is a show? Anyway, a show is a Yoruba word for nail. So when they do somebody by, say, man, a show, say they drive the nail, say, how many inches? 6. This is the word of the Lord. Pull your show out, lick your blood from it, and give her your show. Go away. You were not given to me by God. And anything that God can't give, I don't want. At you, sir. The law of what? Appreciation. I appreciate that my life is not in my hands. It's not in the hands of anybody else. It's in the hands of God. Oh, I remember then. This is my persuasion. I still believe that that was one thing that caused my wife to have Akinlu. So if I should have born in children until somebody called her 1 year, one block. One day I told her, our friend, chairman, I said, you know my wife don't deliver. He said, again? He said, this is your wife now, 1 year, one block. Because his office is beside 1 year, one block. One day we're looking at a magazine, Deeper Life magazine, and that picture never left my head. And one woman was standing like this, and God stretched one big hand from heaven and was handing one child in the palm of his hands to that child, to that woman. And I don't know what I always remember that day. We laughed. I said, this is how it works. I don't know what I heard I said. Yes, this is how it works. It's not fertility, it's not sperm count, it's nothing. This is how it works. I said, this is how it works. Children are the heritage of the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is his reward. Listen, you must learn to recognize now when you are not even under tension. That's why you can go to America if you want. But if God doesn't prosper you there, you will beg there. America has beggars. They have more beggars than Nigeria. You want to prove it to you? One, they are more than we are. Two, everything in America belongs to somebody. So once you don't have it, you don't get. I don't know what I'm saying by that. So you can't just go to the village and stay in somebody's land for nothing. It belongs to somebody. So when you are poor in America, you are really poor. There's no bros. There's no brother. No party for jungle. You don't hear that thing before. That's it. So if God doesn't bless you, think that America will bless you, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. The reason why you won't come back home is that you can't even afford the flight ticket. Listen, a lot of your cousins you haven't seen, they are not dead. They never die. And I mean, they tell you. The guy never died. You know what happened? He can't. You know, there are people that are begging to be deported. Nobody wants to deport them. It's too expensive. What am I saying? America doesn't bless people. Only God does. Are you getting my point? And you must recognize it now. I was talking to my wife the other day, we discussed something. I said, listen, what about when people are doing this? I said, listen, the amount of effort you put into doing some things is a reflection of where your hope is.
You sold your father's land to buy visa. Poverty. Oh, my Father in heaven. You need repentance. You need, listen, you need to see me and pray so I will lay hands on you. Let me ask God for special mercy for you. Not because selling of land is bad. If you need money, you can sell land, amen? But because of visa, that is, you sow hope. That's your problem. Misplaced hope. You stole your cousin's car, sold it. Because you want to pay. Aye, you should know now. Your hope is what the problem is. Are you getting my point? That is what the problem is. As I'm talking about the law of what? Appreciation. Why I use the word appreciation, not just recognition like my bulldog will use in, when he speaks those words, all right? Is that I'm not talking about just one thing you know in your heart. I'm talking about what you utter with your mouth when life makes demand of you to speak. You didn't call chief. Chief is going to be very angry. He won't help you again. Yeah, too bad. My help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Listen, you must learn it now. You must learn it now. Listen, let me end with this. If you learn it now, like I said earlier, a child that grows up knowing that bread, as common as bread is, no, oh God. And that's why the Lord used that one to teach us. Bread was so common, there was no famine in his days. A child that grows up knowing that bread, food, basic food, biscuits, sweet, as common as it is, it's a gift from God. It's supplied by God. That, listen, you see those birds on the express route that dive, and pick the carcass from the ground and disappear. See the kite that hover around when they are burning bush, picking rodents who are running. Listen to this. It was God sending food to them. They gathered, and the Almighty came and was sprinkling their food, their grain. Some of them fell on the road, and you were driving past. So they quickly picked it before you matched it. I don't know what I got to say. As easy as it is, that food they are eating out of nothing, the Bible says, and Jesus said it. You know how many lies Jesus told in his life? You know. None. Are you getting my point? Yet he said, your heavenly Father feeds them. Who feeds the birds of the air? Who feeds the birds of the air? He said, your heavenly Father feeds them. And he says, you are more precious than they, O ye of little faith. That is, if you recognize it, listen, you will never be hungry in your life. Let me end it with that. You will never be poor in your life.
Amen.
It's not a key. It's what? A habit. It's understanding. It's a lifestyle. It's the attitude of the heart. It's the thinking pattern. When you enter your wardrobe now, how many shares did there? Now only 2.5. Why is there half? The third one, you've had to remove the collar and cut the hands. As you reach house today, you know what I'm going to do? Father, I thank you for Bible study today. I thank you for that Bible study. Pastor Banky says it's not by chance that I have this. So I want to thank you that I have this one and this one. And this one. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hey, I'm impressed to say this. God will say, which one do you want next? I don't know whether I get my point. Just say, see that suit Pastor Banky was wearing last time. I like one. Papa God said, no problem. Just like you have never asked me about it. You have only grumbled about it. That now you recognize that I'm the one that gives this thing. Ask me for, oh God. There's a reason why God comes to people and says, ask me for anything. Before you don't whine, complain, tire. There are people, one day one of my cousins said that, this is not the kind of plate my mates used to eat. I got up and said, auntie, your problem is that you have nothing to think about. I was very angry. You are eating a plate in the house, air conditioner, everything. Are you serving me this kind of plate? This is not the kind of plate my... And God was saying, you know, nothing they worry you, not even if they talk this kind of thing. I was very angry. Some people have gone home saying, look at it. Only one piece of fish. Now, wow. There are people who are eating every night now. Fatted calf, now they slaughter. This life is unfair. God said, tomorrow, if you see fish chop, that means that I don't retire. What is the lesson again? Go home. Take the plate, sit down. Call somebody, say, have you eaten? Sit down there. I want you to share this with me as my way of telling God I recognize that He's the one that brought this food. Again, I feel like telling you this. After that, the Lord will say, where would you like to eat just for the fun of it? They said, they told me about the buffet at Nike Lake. Baba God, it's not bad. There are different ways God arranges things. One is somebody just says, escort me, I won't go see person. And you just reach there. Person, you have come. Guys, let's eat. It's meal time. Now go just enter, sit down, you stay in the hotel, what's your problem? Just there, serve everybody, you go chop. And don't take it for granted, it's not luck. God took you there to feast you up. That's what I mean when I talk about the law of what? Appreciation. Who will learn to appreciate? Let's just have it. Let's just appreciate him as we close. Like my wife was leading the prayer earlier. She said, thank him because he has kept you up till now. I want us to do it again. It was not by chance you were not knocked down by that car. You know, the other day, one of our friends, her brother died, her only surviving brother. Senior person, I mean, not a child. And when I heard that he died in the United States, I said, Jesus is Lord. When people die for Nigeria, we vex. See this country, healthcare here is no good. Then the person flew to America, said, let me go and do one small procedure. Call somebody on the phone before he entered the hospital, entered the theater, and came out dead. So I say, there's no country that saves lives. One of my chiefs used to say that death is very powerful. That's why white man still they die. Believe me, death is very powerful in that regard. You get my point? You can't run to America so as not to die. If you have been kept alive till today, somebody kept you alive. Why don't you just say, Father, I thank you? Because you kept me alive. Say, Father, I thank you. Because I've had food to eat. Yes, I've not had the job. But Lord, you know what? Nobody knows until I tell them. Because it doesn't show on my face why you give me food to eat. I love to live in a very nice flat, well-furnished, with a small 32-inch LCD TV, you know, rug, sitting room, nice cool music, but I don't have it yet. But have you noticed I've not been sleeping outside? I've had the roof over my head. It's not by chance. Lord, I appreciate that. I recognize that and I say thank you. The difference between thanksgiving and praise is that praise declares what God can do. And thanksgiving identifies that which He has done for you already. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and don't forget any of His benefits. All those little things, that's what I'm just saying. Appreciate God in them. It's the law of appreciation. If you make a child grow up, always appreciating the hand of God in the food that he eats, that child will never be hungry all his life. Believe me, he will never be hungry all his life. He will never be hungry all his life. And the same applies to you. Appreciate God for everything, and you will never lack in your life. We're not talking about just a key, a presence key. No. It becomes a key in the life of the person who has made it a habit. Oh, thank God for everything you have, oh please. Every little thing. Quickly, confess of all the grumbling you have grumbled against people, the anger you have felt against people who you felt did not help you. We studied here the other day. We like lift up my head to the hills. Is that the place from where my help comes? He said, no, my help comes from the Lord. Every time we have grumbled and have been angry with people, it is because we felt our help is coming from them. So when they did not perform, we were vexed, we were angry. Listen, God watches over you specially, crucially, critically, uniquely. That is why you must thank God. Father, we give you thanks. Let's just take this song, two lines. No, I don't read songs often. It says, we are saying thank you, Jesus. You know that song, very short. Thank you, my Lord. We are saying thank you, Jesus. Thank you, my Lord. You know, that you are standing here and hearing this word, you know you were led by the Spirit of God, brought here by the angel of God, brought here by the power of God. You have to thank God for that also. I've thought about many things. I get mails from here and there. And every time I think about it, something happened today. Somebody told me some stories. And I realized that I'm a Nigerian and there's a reason for it. I can't start giving you the stories. I said, Lord, I'm a Nigerian and there is a reason for it. You are not here by chance. It was crucial to divine destiny that you spend this time in this place. You wanted to go to Lagos like 6 months ago. It didn't work out. Last moment, somebody disappointed you. The job you're supposed to go and take, it didn't work out again. God said, yes, because it's crucial you stay here for this season. You're not here by accident. That's what I'm saying. When I came to Enugu as a person, I didn't have the capacity to doubt. It was too clear that God said, go there and go and stay there. I will show you what you are supposed to do. And the time came, I began to teach the word of God. And from here, I mean, we get meals from Tanzania. I was standing just now when my wife was leading prayer at the back. I looked at this hall and I started laughing to myself. If you saw me then, I smiled. I just smiled. I stood at the back and I laughed. You won't know why I'm laughing. You know why? I looked at the size of the hall. That's why I was laughing. And I think about the meals we get from South Africa, from Tanzania, from Zimbabwe, you know, from all those East African countries. Not the Nigerian one is regular, I know, but I'm talking about the one from different countries. And I look at the size of the hall and I started laughing. And I started laughing. And I remember that he said that Jesus was talking about, what's the name of that tree? This is sycamore tree. When he said that the seed is the smallest. He said, but when it has grown, it becomes so great. And I said, no, it's not the size at the beginning. It's the seed, the gene that's inside. It's the power that's inside that was deciding where it can get to. I thought about it. I said, no, I did not come to Enugu by accident. I was led directly. Go here and wait there until I bring you to the place where I want to do some things. Listen, you know I'm telling you that? In the same manner, you are not here by accident. I say you are not here by accident.
Amen.
The time you were disappointed, I asked after one guy the other day, I said, this guy, he went to Lagos, how far this guy has come back? I started laughing. I said, he thought that prosperity was in going to Lagos. I said, now he has come back. He said, man, Lagos rough. I'm adding many words now. There are all kinds of talented people there. And the guy looks, let me go back home where I say I did safe. It's not the fact that you have not gone to Lagos. That's not the reason why you have not prospered. Some people tell women, say, you move from here and go there, you'll find husband. I say, what's wrong with your head? Tell the woman to locate to Lagos, who can go and marry what? Goliath. I don't know, just on my mind, your location right now, thank God for it. That's what I'm saying. You try to apply here and they haven't employed you yet. God said, occupy with this until I come. Say, Lord, thank you for this. Give him thanks for that. Say, Lord, thank you for this. Lord, thank you for this. Say, Lord, thank you for this. Hey, very important. What is this? The job I have now. The job I don't have now. The time I have to study and to pray now. Lord, thank you for this. For the little money I have now, thank you for it. For the word you are giving me in this season, Lord, thank you for it. A time will come, you will need 3-5 times this effort to be able to hear a quarter of the word you are hearing now. And it's not because you are wicked. Problems always follow prosperity. It's not because of wickedness. That's just the way. You have to learn how to solve them. The church in Jerusalem began to have grumblings because it was growing. When it did not grow, there was no grumbling. So that's why for now, I appreciate your this. I appreciate the place where you are in today. When you appreciate that, when you say, Father, I thank you for it, what you are saying is that where I will be tomorrow, you will take me there and nobody can stop me. You will take me there, no geographical location will be able to stop me. Most of the wealth in America, if you know where it's concentrated, you'll be surprised. When you talk about Silicon Valley, it's not in the heart of New York. People went to where they can have a quiet mind, and from there they began to control the wealth of the world. Father, we give you thanks for today. Lord, we appreciate you. We appreciate you. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. The Lord is good.